أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد We start the program by the recitation of Holy Quran by Hafiz Najib Matub Ahmed A young Hafiz Inshallah he recite the Holy Quran
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن شجرة الزقوم طعام أثيم كالمهل يغلي في البطون كغلي الحميم خذوه فاعتلوه إلى سواء الجحيم ثم صبوا فوق رأسه من عذاب الحميم ذق إنك أنت العزيز الكريم إن هذا ما كنتم به تمترون إن المتقين في مقام أمين في جنات وعيون يلبسون من سندس واستبرق متقابلين كذلك وزوجناهم بحور عين يدعون فيها بكل فاكهة آمنين لا يذوقون فيها الموت إلا الموتة الأولى ووقاهم عذاب الجحيم فضلا من ربك ذلك هو الفوز العظيم فإنما يسرناه بلسانك لعلهم يتذكرون فارتقب إنهم مرتقبون صدق الله العظيم
We know, I think, after Zakir Naik does not need any introduction now, because most of us already know him. But for the benefit of those who have come to this evening, this lecture, first time, I give a brief introduction. Dr. Zakir Abdul Karim Naik is a medical doctor. He is coming from Bombay. He is the son of a prominent social worker and a medical doctor, Dr. Abdul Karim Naik. He is a dai in his own way. He is inspired by Sheikh Didat. And Alhamdulillah, the work of Dawah, he has taken a great distance, has expanded and has given a new direction to that. Today, his cases, his lectures, not only give information, but inspiration to all of us, and especially to our young children who have seen, after seeing his lectures, they not only learn about Islam, but they are getting reassured and in turn starting to talk about Islam. So I think that is the greatest achievement by the lectures of Dr. Zakir Naik, and most of it, all of us, we need the way he is presenting Islam and the information which is inspiring to all of us. So without taking much of your time, today's topic is Dawa or Destruction. Dawa or Destruction. So I request Dr. Zakir to come and start his talk. Thank you very much.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كان آباؤكم وأبناؤكم وإخوانكم وأزواجكم وعشيرتكم وأموال اقترفتموها وتجارة تخشون فقادها ومساكن ترضونها أحب إليكم من الله ورسوله وجهاد في سبيله فتربصوا حتى يأتي الله بأمره والله لا يهدي القوم الفاسقين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. I welcome all of you with Islamic greetings. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May peace, blessings and mercy upon my dear Allah be on all of you. It's a pleasure to be back once again in Jeddah amongst the people of Jeddah. The topic of this evening's talk is Dawah or Destruction. What is the meaning of the word Dawah? I'm sure most of us may be knowing the meaning of the word Dawah. The moment you hear the word Dawah, immediately you start thinking of a lunch party or a dinner party. Dawat does not mean a lunch party or a dinner party. It means an invitation. Today, we will not be talking about an invitation to a lunch party or a dinner party. But, we will be talking about Dawat al-Islam. The invitation to Islam. The Deen al-Haq. The religion of truth. An invitation can only be given to an outsider. Therefore, the moment you speak to a person who is not within the fold of Islam and you talk about Islam to him, it's called as Dawah to Islam. So Dawah can only be done to a non-Muslim. I start my talk by quoting a verse of the Holy Quran from Surah Al Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 110, which says, "Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying that, O ye Muslims, ye are the best of people evolved for mankind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us Muslims an honor. He's calling us, "Kuntum khaira ummatin." O ye are the best of people evolved for mankind. Whenever there is an honor, it is always followed up with a responsibility. For example, in a school, the principal has got more honor than the vice principal. The vice principal has got more honor than the teacher. And the teacher has got more honor than the clerk. But along with the honor, it is always followed up with a responsibility. In the same way, the principal has got more responsibility than the vice principal. The vice principal has got more responsibility than the teacher. And the teacher has got more responsibility than the clerk. So when Allah said in the Holy Quran, "Kuntum khaira ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas," that, O ye are the best of people evolved for mankind. When Allah is giving us such an honor, don't you think it is followed up with a responsibility? The responsibility is said in the same verse. It says, تَعْمِرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, that we enjoy what is good and we forbid what is wrong. وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and we believe in Allah. Allah calls us, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ, the best of people, because we enjoy what is good and we forbid what is wrong. If we don't enjoy what is good and we don't forbid what is wrong, then we are not kuntum khaira ummatin. We are not fit to be called Muslims. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the honor because it's a compulsory duty for every Muslim to enjoy what is good and to forbid what is wrong. The moment we see a person doing evil, we should ask him to stop it and enjoin the people towards the good. But unfortunately, we Muslims, we are not doing our duty. If we do not do Dawah, if we do not enjoy what is good for what is wrong, we aren't fit to be called Kuntum Khaira Ummatin. And the Holy Quran mentions in Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 143, that we have made you a community justly balanced, the middlemost community, Ummat Awas, so that you may be a witness over the nation, and the messenger will be a witness over you. It's the duty of every Muslim, the whole Ummah, to be a witness over the other people, over the other nations. And the beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, will be a witness over us. The other verse of the Holy Quran I quoted in the beginning of my talk was from Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9. Surah Tawbah happens to be the most militant surah of the Holy Quran. Why do I say that Surah Tawbah is the most militant surah of the Holy Quran? Because it's the only surah in the whole Quran which does not start with the beautiful formula Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. Otherwise, each and every chapter besides Surah Tawbah, all the other 113 chapters of the Holy Quran start with the beautiful formula Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. For example, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbin Nas. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul a'udhu bi Rabbil Falaq. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Qul huwallahu ahad. Every surah starts with a beautiful formula, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. But Surah Tawbah does not start with this beautiful formula. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you read the first few verses, verse number 1 to 4, there is a treaty between the Muslims and the pagans of Makkah, a peace treaty. And this peace treaty was unilaterally broken by the mushriks of Makkah, by the pagans of Makkah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them a warning, verse number 4 and verse number 5. He says that if you do not put things back within 4 months, then there will be a declaration of war. If you do not put things back in 4 months, there is a declaration of war. And Allah says in verse number 5 that after the 4 forbidden months are over, wherever you find these mushriks, wherever you find these pagans, slay them in every stadium of war. But if they ask for forgiveness, you may let them go. But Allah is giving a warning. Whenever any warning is given, but naturally, you have to be firm, you have to be militant. For example, if you are walking with your wife on the road, but I'm walking with my wife or my sister on the road, and suppose there is a hooligan who snatches the handbag of your sister or of your wife and runs away, quite naturally, you will chase the hooligan. And the moment you catch him, you will not say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. You will not say, Assalamu alaikum, may peace be on you. You will say, hey mister, give the handbag or break your arm. Hey mister, give the handbag or break your neck. You have to be firm. You have to be militant. In the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He gives a warning to the mushriks of Makkah, Bismillah is uncalled for. Therefore, I say that Surah Tawbah is the most militant surah of the Holy Quran. But by the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the time He reaches verse number 23 and 24, the Muslims, we are in the firing line. The Muslims, we are in the firing line. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing us Muslims in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 24, by saying, Qul in kana abaukum, say whether it be for your father, wa abnaukum, or your sons, wa ikhwanukum, or your brothers, wa azwajukum, or your spouses, your wives, or your husbands, wa ashiratukum, or your relatives. Allah is saying, what are your considerations? Your father, your sons, your brothers, your spouses, your relatives, what are your considerations? Otherwise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Isra, chapter number 17,
verse number 23 and 24, that after worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the next duty is to be kind to your parents. And Allah says that I have ordained to you that you worship none but Allah, and that you be kind to your parents. But at the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says in Surah Nisa chapter number 4, verse number 134, that Ya ayyuhal ladina amin, O you who believe, stand out firmly for justice and witness towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you have to go against yourself, against your parents, against your kith and kin, of the rich or poor, for Allah protects both. You for justice, you even have to go against yourself or your parents. Otherwise, you have to always respect and love your parents. So Allah says in Surah Tawbah chapter number 9, verse number 24, what are your considerations? Your fathers, your sons, your brothers, your wife, your relatives, what are your considerations? And Allah continues, وَأَمْبَالُنِ اِقْتَرَقْتُمُوهَا وَتِجَارَةٌ تَخْشَوْنَا فَسَادَهَا وَمَسَاكِنُوا تَرْضَوْنَهَا. The wealth that you have amassed, the business in which you deal, the dwellings in which you delight, the house in which you live. Allah says, what are your considerations? The business? Some people may say, no, if I do da'wah, then the non-Muslim customers will not come to my business. Do not come to my shop. What are your considerations? The wealth that you amassed, the house in which you live. Allah says in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2, verse number 261, that if you sow one grain in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you 7 years, each year bearing 100 corns, 100 grains. That means if you sow one grain or one corn in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you 700 grains or 700 corns. Imagine, 700 times profit. If you calculate in business terminology, it is 70,000% profit. I want to know which business will you get 70,000% profit? Allah promises you, and Allah continues and says, I will give you many fold more. So if you put your wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah promises you no less than 700 times, 70,000% profit. So Allah asks you, what are your considerations? Your father, your son, your brothers, your wife, your relatives, your wealth, your business, the houses in which you live. And Allah continues, أَحَبَّ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَجِيَادٍ فِي سَبِيلِهِ. If you love all these things more than Allah, His Rasul, and doing jihad in the way of Allah, Allah says, فَتَرَبَّسُوا, you wait. Allah is asking us Muslims to wait. And believe me, we are waiting, sitting on our backside doing nothing. What does Allah mean when He says, فَتَرَبَّسُوا? What does Allah mean in the Holy Quran when He says, wait? What does He mean? For example, if suppose a teacher says in the classroom that look out for a word in a book, when the students are reading in a book, and when the teacher says look out for a word, the teacher actually means we should look in the book, not look out of the book. It exactly means the opposite. That's the genius of the language. When the teacher says look out for the word, she actually means you have to look in the book, not look out of the book. Similarly, suppose there's a senior student in the school who is bullying a junior student. And when the senior student is bullying the junior student says that you wait till I get my elder brother. And his elder brother happens to be the biggest hooligan of that area. When the child is telling the senior student that you wait till I get my elder brother, he is not actually asking him to wait. He's telling him, you scoot off, you buzz off, otherwise you'll be taught a lesson. You don't wait. Similarly, when Allah says in the Holy Quran, فَتَرَبَّسُوا, it does not mean wait. It means you better wake up. فَتَرَبَّسُوا حَتَّى يَأْتِيَ اللَّهِ بِأَمْرِهِ وَاللَّهُ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْفَاسِقِينَ. Wait
until Allah brings about His decision unto you, until Allah brings about His destruction unto you. Wallahu la ilaha illa huwal fasiqin. And Allah guides not the forward transgressors. So Allah is asking the Muslims that you better improve, that you better wake up, otherwise destruction will come upon you. And Allah guides not the forward transgressors. Allah tells us in the Holy Quran, in Surah Muhammad, chapter number 47, verse number 38, He says, وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْا يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, that if you turn away from your path, if you do not do your job, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, Allah will substitute in a place another people, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not be like you. So Allah is telling that if you do not do your job, if you turn away from the path, Allah will substitute in your place another people, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not be like you. And history testifies this, that Allah has His way, that whenever He substitutes a people, He always chooses the people who are looked down upon. Those people who are looked down upon, Allah brings them from the dust and makes them to sit on our heads. For example, if you see history, the Jews looked down upon the Arabs. They said, these Arabs, they are barbaric people. And when Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Jumu'ah, chapter number 62, verse number 5, that the similitude of the Jews who were asked to deliver the Mosaic Law, who were asked to deliver the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they did not do the job, is same as a donkey who's carrying tons of books, but he understands it not. The Jews were asked to deliver the message, but they said, what's the use of delivering the message to these people, the Arabs? And at that time, it was the Ya'mul Jahiliyyah. The Arabs, it was called the days of ignorance. No one even wanted to rule the Arabs. They were so ignorant that they did the tawaf around the Kaaba absolutely naked. They had a beautiful logic. They said that, how can we present ourselves better than the way we came in this world? Therefore they did the tawaf around the Kaaba absolutely naked. Even the conquerors, they did not want to rule them. They were not fit to be ruled. The Arabs, they were looked down upon. So Allah, through His Holy Quran, through His revelation, these ignorant people, He makes them the torchbearer. He makes them to sit on the head of the Jews. Allah has His way. The Jews don't do the job, Allah says, يَسْتَبْدِلْ قَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ, Allah will substitute in your place another people, ثُمَّ لَا يَكُنْ أَمْثَالُكُمْ, and they will not be like you. But unfortunately, if you see the history, the Arabs, the Muslims, we ruled Spain for about 800 years. But we did not do the job. We did not do da'wah. Later on, the Crusaders came and we were wiped out. There was not even a single man who could openly give the azan, imagine. And today, the only thing we can see in Spain, besides the bullfighting and the castanets, is the beautiful buildings and the monuments made by our forefathers. But did not do the job, so Allah substituted the people. Allah had His ways. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in the Holy Quran, He gives us guidance. We Muslims, we say that we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone else in the world. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than our mother. We love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than our father, our sister, our brother, our wife. We say, alhamdulillah, we say. But do we actually mean it? Verbally we say, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anyone in the world. But actually, do we mean it? I want to ask a question. Let's suppose your neighbor, if he abuses your wife, or if he abuses your sister, and if you come to know about it, what will you do? You will surely hammer your neighbor or you put him in his place. If you yourself are not capable of teaching your neighbor a lesson what you do, you will hire somebody else to put him in his place. Won't you? Of course. Why? Because we love our mother, we love our sister. If anyone abuses our sister, if the neighbor abuses our sister or mother, you see to it that you will put the neighbor in his place. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He cried in the Holy Quran. He says in Surah Maryam, chapter number 19, verse number 88 to 92, He says, وَقَالُ اتَّخَذُ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا. And they say, the Christians, they say, Allah most gracious has begotten a son. Allah is crying in the Holy Quran. وَقَالُ اتَّخَذُ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا. It is indeed the most monstrous thing to say. To say that Allah has begotten a son, it is the most heinous abuse you can give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَقَالُ اتَّخَذُ الرَّحْمَانُ وَلَدًا لَقَدْ جِئْتُمْ شَيْئًا إِدًّا. تَقَادُ سَمَوَاتٍ فَتَّلْنَا مِنُّ. As though the skies are ready to burst open. وَتَلَشَكُ الْأَرْضُ. And the earth to split asunder. وَتَخِرُ الْجِبَارُ حَدَّا. And the mountains to fall down to utter ruin. Allah says that if you say Allah has begotten a son, it is as though the skies will burst open. The earth will split asunder. And the mountains will fall down to utter ruin. But to us Muslims, it makes no difference. It makes no difference at all. Our neighbors, our Christian neighbors, our non-Muslim neighbors, our friends, they many times abuse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They keep on saying that Allah has begotten a son. But to us Muslims, it makes no difference at all. But the same world believe that we love Allah more than our sister, more than our mother. If it was the fact, when someone abuses our sister and our mother, we want to put the neighbor in his place. Why don't we want to do the same when someone abuses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why don't you deliver the message to him? Why don't you clarify the misconception that he has? Our Christian neighbor, our Christian friend, they say that Allah has begotten a son. And they quote, as we should keep on quoting the Bible, they say, it's mentioned in the Gospel of John, chapter number 3, verse number 16, that God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not die, but shall have everlasting life. Have we tried to deliver the message to them? Have we tried to correct them? Have we made an effort? Allah says, it's the biggest abuse you can give to him. And Allah says in the Holy Quran in Surah Baqarah chapter number 2, verse number 120, He says, وَلَنْ تَرْضَىٰ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنْ نَصَارَىٰ حَتَّىٰ تَتَّبِعُ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Which means that the Jews and the Christians will never be satisfied until you follow their brand of religion. They will never be satisfied. And Allah says in the Holy Quran, Surah Baqarah chapter number 2, verse 111, وَقَالُوا, they say, the Jews and the Christians, وَقَالُوا, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ إِلَّا مَنْ كَانَ هُودًا أَوْ نَصَارَىٰ. That you Muslims, you shall never enter Jannah until you become a Jew or a Christian. The Jews and the Christians, they say that you Muslims, with your salah, with the mark on your forehead, with your zakah, with your Hajj, with your Ramadan, with your fasting, with all these things, still you shall never enter Jannah until you become a Jew or a Christian. Allah gives the answer. Tilka amaniyu. It is the wishful thinking. Baqwas e baqwas. Qul, tell them. Hatu kurhanakum. In kuntum sadiqin. Produce your proof if you are truthful. You tell them that what you are speaking, if it is the truth, produce your proof. Qul hatu burhanakum. And they have produced their proof, the Bible, in more than 2,000 different languages. They always say that my Bible says this, my Bible says that. My Bible says this, my Bible says that. And they have produced the Bible in more than 2,000 different languages. You name it and it's there. In almost all the languages of the world. What do we have to do? Do we have to follow the Bible, hook, line and sinker? When you ask for a proof, what do? You examine the proof. You have to verify the identity. You have to read the scripture. When Allah says you ask them for the proof, Allah does not mean that you should swallow the Bible, hook, line and sinker. You have to analyze it. These Christian missionaries, they read our Quran. They read our Holy Quran and they ask a question. They ask a question that says that, do you know it's mentioned in the Holy Quran that Bible is the word of God? And most of the Muslims will say yes. They say, why don't you follow it? They ask this question. That by name, your last and final prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is only mentioned 5 times. By name is only mentioned 5 times in your Holy Quran. But Jesus, peace be upon him, he is mentioned 25 times. So who's greater? They don't give you the answer. They let your mind think. They don't give you the answer. They pose the next question. That your Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did he have a mother and father? He said yes. He had a mother and a father. Did Jesus, peace be upon him, did he have a father? He said no. We agree that he was born without any male intervention. He had a mother, Mother Mary. May Allah be pleased with her. But we believe that he had no father. So who's greater? They ask you the question, but they do not give you the answer. They let your mind answer. They tell you that your last prophet, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, did he ever give life to the dead? He might have done other miracles, but did he give life to the dead? You say, yes, we agree, he did several miracles, but we have not heard of any miracles in which he gave life to the dead. Did Jesus, peace be upon him, did he give life to the dead? You say, yes, the Quran mentions that, بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ, wake up in the name of Allah. So who's greater? A person who can give life to the dead or a person who can't give life to the dead? That's his question. They use us as punching bags. They use us as doormats.
Allah says in the Holy Quran, in Surah Al Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 64, he says, Qul ya ahl al kitab, say, O people of the book, ta'ala ila kalmatin sawa'in bainana wa bainakum, that come to common terms as between us and you. Which is the first term? Allah na'budu illallah, that we worship none but Allah. Wala nushrika bihi, that we associate your partners with him. Wala yattakhidha ba'dhuna ba'dhan arbaban min dunillah, that we erect not among ourselves lords and pages other than Allah. Fa'in tawallaw, if then they turn back. Faqulu shhadu, say we bear witness, we are now Muslimun, that we are Muslims bowing our will to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This verse of the Holy Quran is a master key for doing da'wah. If it works for the Ahl-e Kitab, for the Jews and Christians, use it. If it works for the Hindus, use it. If it works for the Parsis, use it. It's a master key. It will work for each and every non-Muslim. It says, تَعَالُوا لَا قَلْمَةِ الْتَوَائِمْ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ, that come to common terms as between us and you. The first term is, أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ, that we worship none but Allah. وَلَا نُشْرِكَ بِهِ, that we associate your partners with him. Have we told our non-Muslim friends that you should worship only one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Have we told? We go for salah, alhamdulillah. Many of us pray regularly, many pray 5 times a day, we go to the mosque for salah, we go to the masjid, and there we hear our imam many a time reciting the Surah Ikhlas. Qul huwa Allahu ahad, say he is Allah one and only, Allahu samad,
Allah the absolute eternal. Lam yuz baramula. He begets not nor is begotten. Walam yaqul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is nothing unto him like. A imam is reciting in the masjid, in the mosque. Say there is Allah one and only. I want to ask a question. Does any of other Muslims, do we say that God is more than one? Do we? No. So why is the imam telling us that there is Allah one and only? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling, Qul, say, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Say he is Allah one and only. Allah is asking you to go and tell those people who do not believe in one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah is one and only. Allah is samad. Allah the absolute, the eternal. Lam yalid wa lam yulad. He begets not nor is begotten. Tell to those people who say that Allah has begotten a son, tell them that Allah begets not nor is he begotten. Wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. And there is nothing like unto him. We read the Salah. Unfortunately, most of us don't understand what the Imam is reading. The moment we go out, we forget everything what we have been programmed in our Salah. Allah tells us to say, but we say, why should we say? Why should we interfere with the faith of the other people? People give excuses. They give excuses for not doing dawah. For example, somebody says, see, I don't have enough knowledge of Islam, so I am not the right person for doing dawah. See, dawah is the job of a person who has a lot of knowledge, alim, who has ilm. I don't have enough knowledge. Therefore, when I gain enough knowledge, inshallah, that time I'll do dawah. Our beloved Prophet said, بَلِّغُ أَنِّي وَلَوْ آيَةٍ. That propagate, even if it be one verse, even if you know one verse about Islam, you have to say it, you have to propagate it, you have to preach it. And I'm sure that every Muslim at least know few points about Islam. They at least know La ilaha illallah, that there is no God but Allah. They at least know that Allah is one. You have to go and tell your non-Muslim friends that say there is Allah one and only. He may ask you for proof, that how can you prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Even if you don't know how to prove logically, at least do the job, at least tell him. If you do not know the answer, what will you do? You come home and do the homework. When in an examination, if I give an examination, if you don't know the answer and if you fail, what do you do? In your next paper, you see to it, the question you were unable to answer, at least that answer you know very well. And you do your homework, you study harder. So you go home and find out how to prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You go and tell him. Had our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he was the last and final messenger. You want proof? Just do your homework. Proof to tell them that the Holy Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If they ask, how can you prove it? If you know, you give the answer. If you don't know, come home and do your homework. Alhamdulillah, now since the media and science and technology have advanced, we don't have to search a lot for these answers. Everything is available on your fingertips. Everything. There are video cassettes by several speakers which are available to us easily in the market. For example, if you want to know how to prove to a non-Muslim about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about Quran is the word of God, there are video cassettes available in which I have given a talk, is the Quran God's word? And there are proof logically that the Holy Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, irrespective whether he be a Hindu or a Christian or an atheist or a scientist, he will be convinced with the answer. Now even prove the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The moment you go home and do the homework, you become a master in that answer. So now you can answer to your non-Muslim friend about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, about how to prove the Holy Quran is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell him, do it like hard. He says, what's the proof? Go home, do your homework. Now you are a master in three answers.
in this way you yourself will increase your knowledge. Even if you know one word, you have to propagate it. There is no excuse for anyone for not doing dawah. It's compulsory. So the Muslims will say, let's see, speaking about Islam to non-Muslims, yes, they should do it, but first, we should speak to the Muslims. We should make the Muslims better Muslims. We should first make the Musliman pakka Musliman, and then we should do dawah. I've got no harm. I do agree that we should also do Islam. Islam means improving the Muslims, giving more knowledge about Islam to the Muslims. I do agree we should do Islam also. But if anyone says that first we will make the Musliman pakka Musliman and then do dawah, that time will never come. It will never come. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he could not convert. He could not change his own family members. He could not change his uncle. Do you think you are better than him? He did his job. He delivered the message. The Quran says in Surah Aisha, chapter number 8, verse number 21. It says, فَذَكِّرْ إِنَّ مَانْتَ مُذَكِّرْ. Your job is to deliver the message. Changing hearts is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But your job is to do zakat. Is to deliver the message. But some people say no. First we make the Musliman pakka Musliman. And then we will speak to the non-Muslim. That time will never come. Our beloved Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in the farewell pilgrimage, he said that had every one of you, and there were more than 1,10,000 sahabas, more than 110,000 sahabas were present there, he asked them that did you received the message, and all of them unanimously said, Beshak, we did. We did receive the message. Then our beloved Prophet said that all those who are present here, deliver it to those who are not present here. And believe me, more than 100,000 of the Sahabas were buried outside Arabia. For what? For making Musliman pakka Musliman? No, for doing dawah. To deliver the message to the non-Muslims. Our beloved Prophet, he sent messages. He asked the scribes to write down messages about Islam to the non-Muslim kings of Persia, of Byzantine. Various things. Many of which also tore up that letter, which contained verse of the Holy Quran. Do you think our Prophet was wrong? Because there were many people in Medina who were yet not perfect Muslims. Our beloved Prophet said that there were many Muslims who did not come for the compulsory congregational prayer. This mentioned Sahih Bukhari. Many Muslims who did not come for the compulsory congregational prayer, for the Jummah Salah. He said, I feel like burning their houses. That means there were Muslims who were not perfect. But yet, our beloved Prophet said, give the message to the non-Muslims. It has to be simultaneous. Dawah and Islam should be simultaneous. You can't say, I will first make all the Musliman pakka Musliman and then do dawah. That time will never come. We want to give excuse for not doing dawah. We say, see, when our own deeds aren't good, hamare amal, our own deeds, they aren't good, so how can we speak to the non-Muslims? They point a finger at us. They will tell us, you Muslims, you aren't good. What are you coming and giving us the message? What are you delivering the message to us? You Muslims, you yourself aren't good. So therefore, first we make the Muslims good, and then speak to non-Muslims. Believe me, that time will never come. I pose the question to such people, and I tell them, that I want to ask you the question, are you better or those Christian missionaries who come from Europe and America? They come and they drink alcohol. Do you drink alcohol? They say no. They do adultery. Do you do adultery? They say no. Who's better? We are better. With all the defects, these Christian missionaries who are wine drinkers, who are alcoholics, who are adulterers, still they are converting hundreds and thousands of people. Why can't you do? They have the falsehood with them, with all the defects. with all the ill habits, yet they are able to convert thousands of people. What's the problem with you? Do you think you are worse than them? When they can do the job, why can't you? You know why? Because to speak to a Muslim is very easy. If I tell a Muslim that he offers a salah, even if he does not pray, he will not hit me, he will not slap me, he will not abuse me. Why? Because he's a Muslim. It's easy to tell to a Muslim, Arabai Dayako, keep up here. Why? Even if he does not keep, he will not abuse me. Arabai, go and pass. Why? Even if he does not pass, he will not repel. But if I tell to a non-Muslim, I'm afraid that it may backfire. You want to do the easy job. Therefore, it is compulsory for everyone to do both Dawah and Islam. And believe me, there are some people who quote the Quran to say Dawah is not required. And they say, it's mentioned in the Quran, لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ, that to you is your way and to me is mine. Therefore, Quran clearly says that let them follow their way of life. Why should we interfere? These people, they are misquoting the Quran. They are quoting a verse of the Holy Quran out of context. What they are quoting is from Surah Kafirun, chapter 109, verse number 6. But for the context, you have to refer to all the 6 verses, which says, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ وَلَا أَنَا عَابِدٌ مَا عَبَدْتُمْ وَلَا أَنْتُمْ عَابِدُونَ مَا أَعْبُدُ لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَ دِينِ, which means that say to those who reject faith, you worship not that which I worship. I will not worship that which you worship. You will not be worshipping that which I want you to worship, nor will I worship that which you worship. To you is your way and to me is mine. First, deliver the message. After he rejects the faith, then tell him that I will not worship that which you worship, and you will not worship that I worship. But first, the question of rejecting the faith comes only after you deliver the message. It does not come before delivering the message. After you deliver the message, and then if he rejects the message, then after trying a little best, then you can tell him, use your way to meet mine. That is not the first resort, that is the last resort. That is the last resort, not the first. Some people say, the Quran says that life after deen, there is no compulsion religion. So therefore, why should we bother with the non-Muslims? We should not compel them. You know, again they are misquoting the Quran. They are putting out of context. What they are referring to is a verse from the Holy Quran from Surah Baqarah, chapter number 2, verse number 256. And it does say, like Rafid Deen, there is no compulsion religion. But read the complete verse. The complete verse says, truth stands out clear from error. If you reject the evil, and if you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will grasp the most trustworthy handhold. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you from darkness into the light. And if you hold the hand of the Satan, he will take you from light to darkness. Complete the full verse. Complete the full context. Don't just say, life of the deen, there is no compulsion religion. Also say, truth stands out clear from error. Present the truth. After you present the truth of Islam, you don't have to force him. You don't have to convert anyone at the point of the sword or the point of the camp. It is forbidden, it is haram to convert anyone at the point of the sword or at the point of the gun. But it is compulsory, you have to deliver the message. Deliver the truth. If he does not accept it, then say that no compulsion religion. Truth stands up here from him. But before you speak, you only know two words of the Quran. لَكُمْ دِينُكُمْ وَلِيَدِينَ and لَا إِخْرَفِدِينَ. Finish. That gives us a blank check that we should not do dawah. Finish. We have done the job. Quran gives us permission that we have to sit and just relax. And people say, the see, religion is a personal faith. It's a personal belief. It is something to do with an individual. You should not interfere in somebody else's private belief.
It's a personal thing. Therefore, we should stick to our religion. You can talk about anything else but religion. It will hurt the person's feeling. I do agree, religion is a personal belief. I've got no objection to that. But let me give you an example. Just suppose you go somewhere on a hill station for an outing with your family. You have your wife and your children along with you. And one of your child is a small child of hardly 3 years old. Your son. And when you go on a hill station for an outing, while you're talking with your wife, your small son of 3 years old, he runs far away, which you are unaware about. By the time you realize that he has gone far away from you, you see that he has reached the end of the cliff. Even if you shout, your voice can't reach him. You can only see him as a minute dot from there. And you see that he is very close to the cliff. He's walking closer and closer to the cliff. Even if you shout, your voice won't reach him. There you see that close to your son is an elderly gentleman, a very good pious gentleman who's standing. And your son is, while walking and running, he comes closer to the cliff, to the end of the cliff. And he's very close to the elderly gentleman. The elderly gentleman sees him, but he minds his own business. And your son, he falls over the cliff. When you can see this from far away, the moment you approach that old man, won't you blame him? Won't you? You say that the elderly gentleman, he had knowledge. He had some intelligence. Couldn't he have stopped my small son from falling over the cliff? Only thing he had to do was to stretch his hand. He did not even have to take a step forward. He was so close to that young son of mine. Only thing he had to do was stretch his hand and my son would have been saved. Believe me, that elderly gentleman didn't push your son. He didn't ask your son to jump. But still, won't you blame him? You will say that he was an elderly gentleman. He could have easily stopped my son. Why did he do it? My son is a masoom child. What does he know? He's ignorant. Won't you blame him? No, he's behaving like us, like a Muslim. He says, it's my personal belief. Why should I interfere with somebody else's son's life? See, what difference does it make to me when he's dying? If he jumps, I'm minding my own business. Let him mind his business. In the same way, when we can see these non-Muslims, we can see that they're going to the ditch, they're going to Jahannam. What are we doing? Nothing. We are behaving like that elderly gentleman. We are minding our own business. We are minding our own business. We aren't making any effort to see to it that the people around us are prevented from entering the hellfire. Suppose your neighbor happens to be non-Muslim and if you do not deliver the message to him on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask your neighbor that, did you get the message of Islam? He said, no Allah bari ta'ala, I didn't get the message. So Allah will tell him that it was a duty to see to it that you obtain the truth. Because you didn't obtain the truth, you have to go to hell. Allah will ask you that, did you deliver the message to your non-Muslim neighbor? And if you say no, you will follow him. You will follow him. It's compulsory that you should do da'wah. It's the duty of every Muslim. And Allah gives us the criteria for entering Jannah. Allah gives the criteria for entering Jannah in Surah Al-Asr, in chapter 103. Verse number 183. It says, "Wal as, inna al-insan lafi khusr, illa allatheena aamanu wa aamilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr." Which means that by the token of time, man is verily in a state of loss. Allah is taking an oath in the Holy Quran. By the token of time, it is one of the biggest oaths that Allah takes in the Holy Quran. Sometimes Allah takes the oath of the fig tree, or the seed, or the zaytun, of the fig, of the olive, of the stars,
of the moon. Allah takes various oaths. But this oath is one of the biggest oaths. He says, well, us, by the token of time, by the fleeting time that it passed away. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. That man is verily in loss. Man is in khasara. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Except those who have faith. آمَنُوا صَالِحَاتِ. Those who have righteous deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. Those who exhort people to the truth. And وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Those who exhort people to patience and perseverance. Allah says, the whole of humankind is in loss except those people who have faith, who have righteous deeds, who exhort people to truth, who do dawah and islah, and those who exhort people to patience and perseverance. These are the minimum four criteria required by the Holy Quran for any human being to enter Jannah. If you have faith, you will be fasting, you may give zakat, you may have righteous deeds, etc. But if you don't do dawah, you shall not enter Jannah. Allah says, minimum four criteria required. Faith, righteous deeds, dawah and isra, that exhorting people to truth, and exhorting people to patience for forgiveness. All four are important. If any one of this is missing, Allah says that all four criteria are required. If anyone is missing, you shall not enter Jannah. It's compulsory duty of every Muslim to do dawah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Fusilat, chapter number 41, verse number 33, that who is better in speech than a person who invites people to the way of thy Lord? Who is better in speech than the person who invites people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And who says that I am amongst the Muslims. It is compulsory that every Muslim should be a da'i. But it's not compulsory that he should be a full-time da'i. It's compulsory that he should at least be a part-time da'i. But the Quran also says in Surah Al-Imran, chapter number 3, verse number 104, that let there arise out of you a people, a group of people enjoying what is good and forbidding what is wrong. That means the Holy Quran says that amongst the Muslims there should be a group of Muslims who should be full-time dying, and it's the duty of the rest of the Ummah to support these dying. Dawah is compulsory for everyone. How we have full-time doctors, full-time engineers, full-time teachers, why don't we have full-time missionaries? Why don't we have full-time dying? Why? We keep the leftover for Islam. You know, a free time. Those people who are rejects of society, we put them into the field of Islam. Suppose our son says, then we say we put him to Darul Uloom. We want to make him Hafiz al-Quran. He fails in the school, we take him out and put him in a madrasa. See, Islam requires the best of people. Why don't you put your son who has become an engineer into the field of Islam? Why not? Put the cream of the society into the work of Islam. It is the opposite. When you find that he is handicapped, he is unfit, so you say, okay, then you remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you give the leftover for Islam, people say, when I become old, I will dedicate my life to Islam. How do you know how long you are going to live? How do you know? So Allah says that there should arrive out of you a group of people who should be full-time dying. Part-time dying is part on every Muslim, without which you shall never enter Jannah. But amongst you, there should be a group of people who should be full-time dying. And it's the duty of the other Ummah, the other people in the Ummah, to support these dying. That's what the Holy Quran says. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives a promise in the Holy Quran. Allah says in Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 33, and in Surah Saf, chapter number 61, verse number 9, He says, هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَىٰ وَالدِّينَ الْحَقِّ لِيَظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ
for over al-mushrikun. Allah says that Allah has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, so that it will prevail over all the other ways of life. Allah says Allah has sent His messenger with deen al-haq, the religion of truth, liyadhhirahu ala deen kulli, so that it will prevail over all the other ways of life, all the other ways, any ism, whether it be communism, Judaism, Christianism, secularism, Hinduism. Islam is destined to supersede all, to master them all, to overcome them all. Kulli! وَلَوْقَيْرَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. However much the mushrik don't like it, however much the idol worshippers don't like it, Allah has given a promise. He says this in two places. Surah Saf, chapter number 61, verse number 9, and Surah Tawbah, chapter number 9, verse number 33. And a similar message is mentioned the third time, in Surah Fatah, chapter number 48, verse number 28. Only the last verse is this. He says, قُلْ لَجِي أَرْسَلْ رَسُولَهُ بِالْوَدَاءِ وَالدِّينُ الْحَقِّ لِيَدِينَ وَالَ الدِّينِ كُلِّهِ وَقَبَى بِاللَّهِ الشَّيْطَانِ. That Allah has sent His messenger with guidance and the religion of truth, so that it will prevail over all the ways of life. And enough is Allah as a witness. Allah is giving the shahada that Islam will prevail over all the other ways of life. Imagine, Allah is testifying in the Holy Quran that Islam will prevail over all the other ways of life. Suppose someone tells you that here is a business, that in this business you are surely going to succeed. You are going to get minimum 700 times profit. What will you do? You see to it that every penny of your excess wealth you will invest in that business. If somebody tells you a secret, just see if you are involved in this business, I'm giving you a guarantee that you will get a lot of profit. What will you do? You will invest every penny of your saving in that business. So Allah is giving the witness that this religion of Islam will prevail over all the other ways of life, with or without you. The rubbish that we are. What are we? Nothing. Allah does not require us to spread His message. Allah is giving us an opportunity to do a prophet's job and to earn a prophet's reward. Allah does not require us. With or without you, with or without me, Islam is going to prevail over all the other ways of life. Allah is giving us an opportunity to make hay while the sun is shining. If you know that this business is going to get you profit, you will invest your every penny. We say that we believe in the Quran verbally, but actually we do not believe in it. If we would have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we would have seen to it that we put every grain, as Allah said, as I mentioned earlier in Surah Baqarah chapter 2 verse 251, that if you sow one grain, one corn in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give you 7 years, each year bearing 100 corn, 700 times profit, Allah is promising you. But we don't have faith. We say we believe in the Quran verbally, but practically we don't. How much time do we give? How much energy do we give for Islam, for the propagation? How much money do we spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How much? Allah is giving us a promise. Allah is giving us an opportunity to make hay while the sun is shining. Do a prophet's job and earn a prophet's reward. I would like to end my talk by giving the quotation from the Holy Quran, from Surah Nahl, chapter number 16, verse 125. He says, قُلُوا إِلَىٰ صَبِيلِ رَبِّكَ بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْئِذَةِ الْحَسَنَةِ وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Which means, invite all to the way of thy Lord with wisdom and beautiful preaching, and argue with them and reason with them in the way that the best and most gracious. وَآخِرْ دَعْوَانَ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.